Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
On the sideline, you know what I'm saying? Chris Jones wouldn't be on the sideline, and this guy was on the sideline on the final drive of regulation, which almost blew the game. But so many things went awry in that Super Bowl. It was, again, Shanahan got tight, the team got tight, and you just knew when Mahomes threw the interception and you don't score, New York Kitty's in there, is like, they got -1 yard on the drive. It was like, yeah, we know, we were there. we remember they had the ball at the 44-yard line and came away with no points.
So if you were to it's never,
oh my god,
it's never one thing.
I'm in a dark
but if you
place
were
again.
To boil it down, what is it for you? What's the thing that sticks in your craw the most from that Super Bowl? Because I know exactly what it is for me.
The fact that they didn't know the overtime rules, and they were. And it was kind of a microcosm of how the week went by. You know, the practice field in UNLV, Shanahan at media day. There was some chirping here and there. It was just a disaster. It was a disaster. It turned out to be a disaster. They didn't feel like they were prepared mentally to really go over the top and play Mahomes. Like, the Chiefs were buttoned up for the second. Even in Miami. I'd never forget Adam Schefter in Miami when they were getting ready for Super Bowl 54. The Niners are loose. You know, Kendrick Bourne and Deebo Samuel, Emmanuel Sanders, they're driving Porsches in South Beach, Miami. They're having a good time. And Schefter's just like, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs are just dialed in.
Of course.
They are locked in.
Of course they're dialed in.
They're dialed in. And you saw that in Super Bowl 54. They ran the old plays. They had different formations. They're all about that. But it just wasn't one thing for me, Shasky. But the not knowing the overtime rules was kind of a microcosm of everything.
It's never one thing. It's never.
I can't boil it down to one thing.
But
it's
for
hard.
Me, no, for me, I'll never, and there's a lot, but the top of the charts is, and I said it, the final possession of the game, I said it, the final possession for the Niners in overtime. You got to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, you're flirting with the God over there, okay? Oh, and I said it on 3rd and 4. I go, B, it is 4-down territory. You're like, no, because then only a field goal beats you.
I didn't know the over. I was confused.
You need a touchdown.
I was so rattled. I was confused about the overtime rule. So
you
in hindsight,
to score yes. a touchdown. Whether you were on the 10-yard line going 90, or whether you were on the 5-yard line trying to punch it in,
we took
you
the
needed
ball.
A touchdown.
We took the ball.
I just
for a field
the
ball.
Second you took it, it's like, okay. Well, even if you took it first, you gotta get a touchdown.
Gotta get a touchdown
because it's Mahomes, and you're giving him 4 downs.
They
so
didn't
you had
score.
To get a touchdown.
They were going right down the field on that opening drive, and McCaffrey fumbles. That should have been a sign. Our boy McCaffrey.
Hey, George.
Our boy McCaffrey, who had an all-time season, not just for the 49ers, in NFL history.
I mean, he had a stutter step play on a loop pass from Purdy in that was overtime or whatever. That was one of the more iconic plays. We didn't think about it.
No. No, we don't. We think
by the way,
the
also, they made a tackle at the goal line. I don't know, it was Kelsey, I believe, should have scored. I mean, Kelsey, Kelsey.
That was Tig Brown. Tig Brown on the sideline. Kelsey was going to score. Tig Brown saved the day.
Oren Burks is going to be in my head with Gibson. Pre-snap going like, who am I guarding? Dog, guard Kelsey.
This is why.
All of you, guard Kelsey.
No, this is why.
Kelsey.
This is why.
Kelsey!
No, this is why.
It's
no, it wasn't guard Kelsey.
Guard him.
No, it wasn't guard Kelsey. It wasn't that Shasky. It was like, line up, Bright. Line up in your spot. There were so many plays. I'm like, Shasky. Oren Burks is on the left side. Fred Warner's like, get your ass over here. They lined up. He couldn't even line up right.
It was just so bad.
It was the whole Super Bowl.
It's just so bad.
Gives me a headache to even. Full disclosure.
I've watched it probably 4 times.
No. I watched it once and I haven't gone back to it.
Ugh.
I haven't gone back to it. I was thinking about it the other day. I said, maybe I need to get myself mentally prepared to watch the Super Bowl back.
Because
I remember it in real time.
It hurts.
Everything about it. It was just a disaster class on how to coach. And Shanahan,
and
when
they
They got turnovers. But you know what? They got the Pacheco fumble inside the goal line.
Now after Gibson should have intercepted a long pass.
Oh, my God.
It was like Gibson didn't even know where he was.
I forgot all about that. Yeah, I remember it was right in front of him.
And Pacheco fumbled like the next play.
The next play he fumbled. And he was going to score. It looked like he was going to score and get inside the 5-yard line.
He was running hard.
He was running hard, but they were shutting him down. The whole Super Bowl was a damn disaster class, and that's why.
You got the Chase Young game.
And that's why. You did get the Chase Young game. But that's why, when I think about Shanahan and the way it went down with Steve Wilks, I get it. Steve Wilks is not the defensive coordinator for this team. He told us, hey, I'm still learning the defense midway through the year. And I'm like, well, we're screwed. He's still learning the scheme. He doesn't know the scheme. Now we're saying, hey, get down from the press block, coach on the sideline. Well, it really doesn't matter because he doesn't really know the scheme. But when Shanahan threw his headset and called a timeout in overtime and showed Steve Wilks up on that final possession, I kind of looked at Shanahan differently for a second.
Why?
Because I said, who the hell are you when your offense has 19 or 22 points at the time? Who are you when your offense is settling for 50-plus yard field goals and you can't get a first down on 3rd and 5? Who are you to let the clock go by and expire when you knew damn well you weren't going to touch the ball for over an hour in real time after Usher was doing his concert or whatnot? Who are you to show up the defensive coordinator when the defense is saving your ass in the Super Bowl? That whole thing makes me sick to my stomach, man. And that's why it's Super Bowl or bust. The only way you can wash this taste out of our mouths, out of your mouth, out of my mouth, is by winning the damn Super Bowl. That's the only way we can get over this damn thing. Because it was a masterclass.
That's another 3. Why not? Why not? Absolutely sick. For Klay Thompson.
It's not my blood pressure. It's skyrocketing right now. You know, they got the stress app. The New York Giants GM had the stress app, and he's like, look at my stress app. I need to download that thing. Because whenever I talk about the Super Bowl, I feel like my blood pressure goes up because I think about 101 ways to lose a Super Bowl. Let me show you why. Let me pop in the tape on the 49ers versus the Chiefs. Super Bowl 54 and last year. Anyway. Let's give away a Clay. Let's qualify somebody for a Clay Thompson jersey, Spadoni. 415-523-4652. Caller number 5. You will qualify for a Clay Thompson jersey. An autograph, Clay Thompson. Go to State Warriors jersey. Clay Thompson came up in the clutch. I know not in the playoff game last year, playing game. But we've got some great Clay Thompson moments in some big, big spots. What's the moment for Shanahan in these big, big spots? Kyle Shanahan.
I want to go back to the beginning, like right at the end of half when they got the ball back and Shanahan did the weirdest clock transition thing and didn't force them to burn a timeout. Then he wasted a time. The whole thing, it made zero sense. Shoot. I was screaming. I'm like, they're going to get the ball to start the half. You're not going to touch it for a real
I was screaming.
And I don't know. No one has dissected it. Whatever they did on that fight, it was the worst. You believe in your quarterback?
Do you believe in your quarterback? You know why that pissed me off, Shasky?
It made me infuriated.
No, listen. I walked away from you. You guys didn't realize how long I walked away from you guys at halftime.
I was furious.
I took a walk. I took a walk on the concourse before Usher got on the stage.
Furious.
Because I said...
They had him on the ropes.
I said Shasky is sitting here...
They let him off the hook.
I'm saying to myself, Shasky's sitting here telling him to call a timeout. Because I told Lovin, I said, they're not going to touch the ball for about an hour and a half in real time. We did the math. It was like an hour and 11 minutes that they weren't going to touch the football. But there was only like, 31 seconds? Look up the game on 31 seconds. And I'm thinking to myself, well, Super Bowl 54, everybody told me it was the right decision to not call a timeout and just go into halftime 10-10 against Patrick Mahomes. And I was like, you see what I've been saying for 5 years with Shanahan and his timeouts and being aggressive and when to take your foot off the gas pedal and when not to do it? And he does it time and time again. The play calling. I just, oh my God, the Super Bowl makes me sick. That's why we haven't talked much 49er football. Because when you relive that game and the way that season ended, and it was coming. I mean,
he called a timeout. No, just real quick for a second.
Let me finish this one because I'm going to forget my thought. I'm going to forget this thought. Because the warning signs were there. The warning signs were there against Green Bay. The warning signs were there against Detroit. And it finally caught up to him in the damn Super Bowl. And that's why that anybody that disagrees with me talking about it's not Super Bowl or bust, enjoy the process. To hell with the process. I've gone through the process over and over. I got through the process in 2019. I gone through the process in 2021. I gone through it in 2022. And I had to walk out of Philadelphia without a quarterback with a torn elbow and getting mobbed and getting things thrown at me. And then we went through the process last year. To hell with the process. I want a Super Bowl. The hell with the regular season. The hell with anything else. Go win a Super Bowl.
What was the game?
Damn.
Bills and Chiefs, how much time was on the clock when they moved down?
13 seconds.
Okay, all right. And then, so the end of the second quarter, the Niners got the ball at like around the 30, give or take, correct? How much time was there and they had two timeouts, correct?
I think it was, 21 seconds? How many seconds was it? I'll look up the game log right now.
Please look it up right now. It's a couple throws.
Well, no, but what got
That's a couple throws to get into the field goal range.
But my biggest point at that moment, I was saying to myself, there's a big halftime show.
That's what I'm saying.
And Kansas City receives the ball to open the second half. Your offense is going to get rusty. You need to be aggressive and try to get some points before halftime or keep your rhythm because you're not going to touch the ball for about 45 minutes in real time.
This is the guy who literally knocked out the Bills with 13 seconds, okay? And if you're going to go toe-to-toe with him and you're going to beat him, you have to be aggressive. That's just my philosophy. And I'm telling you, he ran a play and then let the clock bleed down, called a random timeout just to run another useless play.
It was...
It made no sense, and no one peppered him on it.
So is Kyle Shanahan...
Because there's a million things you can pepper him on.
So Kyle Shanahan is great. I guess the question is going to linger all season long until it gets done. Is Shanahan a guy to take us... to the mountain.
He does so many great things.
Katie, get us over the top.
He does so many great things. And then, like I said, like it's just like an unreal brain lapse where I just, I don't get it. And then when you ask him about it, he's insulted, you know, that you even question his football.
That's what happened in the halftime.
Okay.
Buckner kicks it off. It's 20 seconds left.
Yes.
They line up his shotgun. They run it for 6 yards. They don't call a timeout. They just go into halftime. And the last time they touched the ball before that, it was they scored a touchdown
and they missed the extra
point. Yeah. They missed the next extra point, which was another sign. It's like, damn, even when you do score, you want to clap and say, hey, they missed the extra point, which allowed Kansas City to tie the game. I mean, come on, man.
That's just
I guess the Steiny Guru going to relive the Super Bowl. Now I'm in a dark place again. Anthony Vereen in 13 minutes. Anthony Vereen, 13 minutes.
The part that's hard to come to grips with is that
they really
these opportunities are so few and far between. You know, for one core of players to get to two Super Bowls, it's really, like, you are in a unique category. A unique category. Think about it. Debo, Bosa, Shanahan, and Fred Warner. The linchpins, if you will. Eric Armstead. For that chunk, and Juszczyk, I guess, and Kittle throw in there, like, it's very difficult to get to two Super Bowls in a five-year period. Very difficult.
Only 8 teams in NFL history have gone back to the Super Bowl after losing it in the year prior. 71 Cowboys, 72 Dolphins, 73 Vikings, 87 Broncos, the Bills, obviously, 91 through 93, and most recently, the New England Patriots in 2018.
I mean, how many of those teams have, like, all-time players at quarterback and at head coach?
Well, Brock Purdy could be.
You know the problem that bothered me the most? There's a number of things that bother me about the Super Bowl.
I don't know. Kick coverage?
But it just felt like...
The 4th-and-2?
It just felt like Shanahan didn't learn anything from the Super Bowl 54 loss. He didn't learn anything from the 2021 NFC Championship loss to the LA Rams. We all forget, You got 3rd and 2. You Trent Williams can't even
some
walk.
Most predictable play
can't
call.
Even walk. He's can't even walk.
And in that situation,
motions.
What did we say?
And
he can't, it's a go for it situation.
Well, no, he can't even walk. He motions. You get stuffed. And then you kick the ball off. And then the next play, Joukowsky Tart drops the interception. I'll never forget looking at Rocco. We just knew kind of like it was over right there.
Yeah, and then after that drop, it was a huge play and then a penalty, I believe, tacked onto it.
Odell Beckham Jr. for 30 yards. A Jimmy Ward call for a late hit, which tacked on 15 yards. Oh, I'll never forget it. On the very next play, after Tart dropped an interception.
My dad started packing his bag.
And they left Joukowsky Tart on the scoreboard with his hands over his head. And by golly, the guy's never played a football game ever again.
By golly.
And you know what? We had him on the, remember we had him on the show with Langford? You were out. We had him on the show.
Yeah, he was really dejected, too. You could hear it in his voice where this guy, the mental state, it's tough, man. That's the play you're going to be remembered for, and you didn't make it.
Like, for Niner fans, if fair or not, Kyle Williams, LaMichael James, right? Like, Kaepernick, even to a degree, right? You know, and then you get a little closer, and you're like, Quan Alexander, make a play. Oh my God, Sherman, why are you bumping him?
Giambi, why don't you slide?
Giambi, why don't you slide? And it's just
you say Russ Ortiz, just leave him in.
Russ Ortiz,
just leave
Harrison
him in the game.
Barnes. I mean, there's so many.
Five.
You just say their names.
Harrison Barnes,
like,
5 for 32 in the last 3 games of the NBA Finals, and I interview Harrison Barnes. They used to have the practices on during the finals. They have them on the court. So the day before Game 7, I wrote an article for the other station about Harrison Barnes. And he was loose, he was good, and he hit his first 3 of the game in Game 7.
The Dylan
hit the
Brooks.
First 3. And then that was that.
the Dylan Brooks hit the first one, miss everyone after it.
Loco Moco on YouTube. Sterling had a rough show after the Super Bowl. He was so frustrated. I had a rough night. A rough morning. I really didn't want to do the show the next day in Las Vegas.
Oh, it was the saddest show ever in a box that was cooking.
That trip became just a nightmare.
Yeah, it was a long nightmare.
Are they going to get it done this year, man? We're going to open up training camp, and we got to hear everything. Hey, we got over it. You never get over it. Oh, we're trying to get back to that point. We know what's on. Like, the regular season is really for the 49ers this year. Yeah, they may beat the Chiefs at Levi's Stadium. We're like, yeah, they beat Kansas City. Uh-huh. But in the back of our minds, we know, well, the Chiefs will gladly lose this game. They've got 2 big ones over us.
How many teams, like the Red Sox, they at least had a couple of knocks on the door during that long, long, long stretch. A couple. The Niners have had 3 in 11 years, and they basically all their losses in the playoffs are horrific. And that, like the
horrific.
Only one, the only one that's even a blowout, and it's because your quarterback lost his elbow.
Philly game.
Is the Philly one. Yeah. All the other ones are horrific losses.
Heartbreakers.
Horrific.
The Rams have
heart out.
They had a 17-7 lead in the NFC Championship game against the LA Rams. 17-7.
I lost. I'm out. I'm out.
What did Troy Aikman say? I'm afraid he's going to have to come down to Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean,
they had a 10-point lead to the Kansas City Chiefs in the 2019 one. I mean, what are we talking about?
But you feel me on now the timeout before halftime.
Oh, 100%. You look at here's
can
the
you
rule.
Explain to people how I react in real time in Super Bowl 54?
From here on out, for the rest of my football watching life, if you say you believe in your quarterback and you don't call a timeout, I don't care if there's 1 second on the clock in the end of the halftime. Like, if Mahomes, if the shoe was on the other foot and they had 20 seconds, you think Andy Reid's taking a knee?
No. No.
He's slinging it down the field. Is he not?
Absolutely. They're running no huddle.
Look, okay, they pick it off at the 40-yard line. So what? So what? So what? You got to be aggressive. You might get a penalty. You might break one. You got timeouts. Like, we know now, even if you're at the 20, that's 1 or 2 plays and you're in field goal range. Is it not? In the
I'm afraid
NFL?
That it's going to have to be Jimmy Garoppolo that gets it done.
Well, when Jimmy's your quarterback, that's 75 plays.
See, again, I go back to Shanahan. Shanahan, it was obvious he didn't have a lot of faith in Jimmy Garoppolo. Yet you dialed up 4 pass plays with 1:49 and 3 timeouts at the Kansas City Chiefs 49-yard line. So even if he completes the Emmanuel Sanders touchdown pass, which we all want to complete it, but there's still about 1:30 left on the clock. Mahomes would have touched the ball again. Does anybody have any faith in the defense at that point
no.
to stop Patrick Mahomes?
No, not
so
knowing what
the
we know
game
now.
Was
Damian
mismanaged.
Williams was running through your heart.
The game was mismanaged at the end of both halves.
Who was the guy?
It's
Sammy
unbelievable.
Watkins? Was it Sammy? Was Sammy Watkins?
Oh. Richard Sherman.
Oh,
see,
my God.
Now I'm going to sound
Richard
like
Richard Sherman's pressing him. It's like it's Sammy Watkins.
He got cooked. so bad. They did everything to him. Play action pass to Kelsey. Run plays to Sherman. Sherman was burnt toast in the fourth quarter. Burnt toast. So I had a problem with him at the end of his tenure talking about, yeah, well, no, I'm not going to be back because this guy, you want to talk about pocket watching. Richard Sherman was doing some big time pocket watching his last year.
God, the NFL really just let the Chiefs off the hook last year. The entire NFL. It's
everyone.
Just everyone.
Everyone.
Chris Jones. Travis Kelce, who's 35 years old, is their best wide receiver.
Detroit,
he's a tight end. You know
Detroit
I mean.
Beat them week one. There was no Kelce on the field. He was on the sidelines. And Chris Jones was sitting with the mob up in the stands. And you know where Chris Jones was in the fourth quarter of that game?
In the backfield.
Exactly.
Over and over and over again. So Super Bowl 54. Super Bowl 54. Chiefs, 3rd and 14 at their own 48. Mahomes pass, short right pass to Damian Williams for 1 yard, minute 53. And there's John Lynch in the suite.
Oh, my God.
There's me at the old studio. Timeout, 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 timeout. Nope, no timeout. And what did I do? Shasky, I went ballistic.
Yeah, you're ready to fight me.
I went ballistic.
I was like, it's okay. We're fine. We're holding him down. Limit the possessions. I was wrong.
I couldn't even enjoy Shakira at halftime because I was so down bad.
And J-Lo.
And J-Lo.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, I was so distraught.
That was a good one.
I was so distraught. So then you look at the last possession. Huh, this is rich. This is so rich. First and 10 at the Kansas City 49-yard line with a minute 49 left and 3 timeouts. And Shanahan with the quarterback he does not trust.
And Raheem Mostert.
And Raheem Mostert, who, by the way, didn't touch the ball in the first quarter, coming off a 200-yard game against Green Bay Packers.
Until the 12-minute mark in the second quarter.
Yeah, there you go. Didn't touch the ball in the first quarter.
I've only watched that Super Bowl 11 times.
Well, what happened last year when I was in Cabo? I started texting you guys. You guys started another thread. I was like, just leave Vontae alone. Let him cook.
No, the worst is when all the Niners defenders took the photo. Oh, my God. Look, you're laughing. I hate you. Why are you laughing at me?
A minute 49 left at the 49-yard line.
In the all-whites.
And they what, three timeouts. Three timeouts, and a quarterback you don't trust, who you didn't trust in the first half because you didn't call a timeout. You went to halftime content with the 10-10 tie. You dialed up 4 straight pass plays, and we all forget about the fourth down play. You can't even get lined up right. It was a disaster, an absolute disaster. So you know who has the most pressure? So you know who has the most pressure on them going into the season? It's not Brock. It's not Debo. It's not Bosa. It's not Kittle. It's not Trent. It's not Ayuk. It's not Hufanga. It's Kyle freaking Shanahan who has the most pressure on them. We got to close the deal on one of these bad boys. It's Kyle Shanahan who has the most pressure on them. And it's not even close.
We're back to 2020.
It's not Jimmy. Even close.
It's Shanahan.
Shanahan. Mismanaged the Super Bowl of 54 and the Super Bowl last year, and he wants to throw his headset on and blame Steve Wilkes. If it wasn't for Steve Wilkes and the defense, we wouldn't have been in the damn game because the offense stunk in the Super Bowl. Oh, my God.
If we're being honest, the offense wasn't great in the first half against Detroit.
Or Green Bay. Debo and the receiver, come on, Shanahan, dial him up, Shanahan, dial him up.
That was the part right there.
Oh, my God.
Debo's telling him, dial it up, bro.
Oh, my God. Shanahan.
Remember, that's
the same. Do we have a Shanahan problem? Oh, my God. All right. Jack's Cantina, they just opened up a new spot in Pleasant Hill. Check out and enjoy authentic Mexican food, an excellent tequila selection, frosty margaritas, a huge bar, and great vibes. Maybe I'll go have one with Kyle Shanahan. All right. It's coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. NBA Summer League head coach, Warriors are 6-0 Summer League right now, Anthony Vareen. He's joined by Tay Butch here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'm afraid that it's going to have to be Jimmy Garoppolo that gets it done.
I got a joke for you, Bonte.
Now back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game. Filling in for Steiny and Guru, here's Bonte and Shasky.
Taking a breather. You guys wanted to relive the Super Bowl. We relived it, and we're moving on. Not going to do it again. Not going to do it. Nope. And no, I'm not saying fire Shanahan. I'm not doing that. I'm not. He's a great coach, but has gotten it done. Has gotten it done. Yeah, Smash Mouth. Is that a Shasky you said? Smash Mouth?
Yeah, you know, Smash Mouth, an interesting social media follow, is all up on us. Oh, you must be talking about a different team. Smash Mouth, okay. Yeah, that's who I want talking football with me. Any sports, really.
R.I.P. Steve Harwell, former singer of Smash Mouth.
Who's running that account, then?
Oh, I DM him. So I try to get him on the show, and he tried to act like, oh, yeah, I'll try to act like it. You know, it's just like, come on, man. Like, they try to play Boo Boo the Fool.
They got one song. Boo-boo hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Hey, get played or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's Shrek. It's a classic.
Something like that. Something like that.
It is a great song.
It's a really good song. Really good song. 6-0 Summer League. The Golden State Warriors. We get Anthony Vereen, the Summer League head coach. He concluded his second season as player development coach with the Golden State Warriors. See on the back sideline, played with the G League Warriors. And won a championship with them. Won a championship with the G League Warriors in 2014 and 15. They are 6-0 right now. They are rolling. They shut down Pods. They shut down TJD for the rest of summer. But our boy Daquan Plowden. Daquan Plowden, Shasky. Earned himself a two-way contract. He's playing some really good basketball right now. Really good.
Yeah, he is. And a really good interview yesterday. If you missed it, go on to our YouTube page, and you could talk to him there. I'm just looking at, you know, Anthony's, Vereen's, you know, little thing that he's got going here on NBC Bay Area. They did, like, a little deep dive on him. I mean, he seems to be very tied in with Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his development.
JK.
So I'd love to know what maybe Jonathan Kuminga was tasked with working on this summer. Because we know that, you know, during the downtime, it's time to go away and add some tools to your bag.
Yeah, he added a scarf to his head. How about that? Somebody on the YouTube said I should come in with that. Should I do that on Monday? Just come in with a scarf on my head?
Yeah, you know, the only time I wear a scarf is when I've got the big overcoat.
Yeah,
and you put it over. Yeah, and then I put it over. It's more of a fashion thing than it is like a, you know, keep me warm thing.
Right, yeah, no, it is a fashion thing. I love me a good scarf. I love me a good scarf. So we're efforting Anthony Vereen. Warrior stuff. By the way, Brendan Pajimski was on TikTok yesterday. Did you see that? He was on TikTok.
No, I must have missed it.
He was on TikTok, and I think he's trying to play a basketball game, one-on-one game with Flight, one-on-one game for them. So, yeah, anyway. What about Barkley? We didn't even play this week.
Yeah, give it to me.
I'm not big on jump shooting teams. And the one year you guys have a terrific season, you think y'all took it personally. The team's not going small. They just need quality big men. What the Golden State Warriors did was terrific. But I don't think you're going to see a bunch of... Well, if you can get guards like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, you got a better chance of playing small ball. But I don't think the NBA all of a sudden is going to have a bunch of three-point shooters and playing a bunch of small lineups.
Great take. Great take, Barkley. Great take, Barkley. And then now, up at Tahoe last week, basically Shasky said, yeah, The Warriors are done. They're older. It's like he finally got his due.
Yeah, you say it for 15 years straight.
You're going to be right at some point. You said something to me just a minute ago as we get back to Kyle Shanahan. You just said, I want you to tell the audience what you told
me. Okay, I believe that there are certain individuals in life. This is going to sound like harsh. I do believe there are certain individuals that have what I call the bug. Mm-hmm. And they're cursed, right? They're almost cursed, right? And sometimes it's mental, sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's spiritual. Things happen in your life where you become like a tortured soul, you know? And there were people in my life that I know, that I love deeply, that had, they were good people, like when it was all said and done, but they were like tortured souls. Like tortured souls, and they were fighting it internally for a long, long time. And sometimes you hear when people pass away, like, oh, right. So-and-so's in a better place.
Yeah.
Because they literally, physically were fighting it. And there are times that I think, like, Kyle is his own worst enemy. He's really good at what he does. But is he one of these torched souls? But what I mean more tortured in, like, the sports sense.
I tell you who's not torched or is not a tortured soul is Anthony Varane. Right now they're rolling in Las Vegas. Summer League, 6-0. He's coaching the Summer League team this season. Player development coach. This concluded his second year with the Golden State Warriors. Been part of their G League system for a few years. Even won a championship with them back in 2014-15. Anthony Varee joins Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky the Butcher. What up, Anthony?
How we doing? Thank y'all for having me, man. It's very exciting to talk to you all.
Oh, man, it's exciting to talk to you. I've been waiting to talk to you for a long time, man. I like the swag, and we understand that you work with JK a lot, and you've been coaching these guys. We talked to Daquan Plowden yesterday, who's got a two-way deal. You guys are rolling right now. Tell us about your opportunity to coach the Summer League team, man. How you feeling right now?
Well, I got the opportunity at the end of the year meeting. I started planning, just trying to do some things that can possibly help our Summer League team, and maybe some things we could take to next season. It's been an amazing experience to help Daquan Plowden get a two-way. And just seeing these guys buy in and play the right way. You know, Summer League is a league where it's just screaming to be individualistic and worry about yourself. But these guys are playing the right way, playing together, playing hard and connected on both ends of the ball. And it's been an amazing experience for me. You know, it's my first time sitting in that chair. And I got a new level of respect for Steve Kerr and all he has to deal with being in that head chair. But it's been an amazing experience.
So what's one thing on the floor when the game is going on, and what's one thing off the floor that you've learned that maybe, you know, you didn't know 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago?
I would say off the court is the planning and to the scheduling of guys that's playing and not playing. You still have to get workouts in. You still have to have those guys prepped and ready to play. And so I didn't know how much, timing and effort and planning that goes into that. And then as far as on the court, I think one good thing was sometimes you don't have to control the actions. You have taught these guys and, you know, gave them the vision for the game plan. And it's okay to let them facilitate the action and call the plays. And you just kind of sit back and just give them guidance as needed, but you don't have to be overbearing. So that's two things I've learned from this experience so far.
Coach, could you see yourself one day maybe having that seat at the NBA level? Would you be interested in that? I know you're a player development coach, and it's a lot less stress than you have than Steve Kerr does on a day-to-day basis, but could you see yourself in that seat one day? Is that the goal for you, maybe one day?
Well, what I would say is I'm on floor two. I'm trying to get to floor 30, so I got a few more levels to get up to that level, but I definitely feel, you know, more validated and more confident and maybe potentially one day sit in that seat. And you know, I'll just try to use some of these experiences I'm learning now when that time does come, hopefully.
So explain to the audience, because Shasky and I, we know player development coaches. We know what you guys do and what it entails. But explain to our audience what you do on a daily basis here with the big league team when it comes to player development.
Well, you're usually working with either a younger guy or a vet, and you're trying to work on their strengths, but also help build and grow their game to the level that it might be maybe 2, 3, 4 years. So it's like a duality of it, where we're working on things that they can do right now, but we're building for the future and then, you know, showing them different skills and different things that they might have in a role in the future, as well as their role that they're trying to use getting on the court right now. So it's a lot of development. It's a lot of film work. It's a lot of skill work. But it's also just relationships, being able to build and have that player trust you with their career. That's their most valuable thing. So you want to put in the time, earn their respect, and help them, you know, for now and for the future.
So you've worked a lot with Jonathan Kuminga, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm looking at him, and I see all these workout videos and stuff. I mean, without, you know, getting too personal, what was some of the individual development plans that you had for him for this summer? Like, what were some areas, because people really love him, you know, and I think he's a huge part of what I hope the Warriors want to build moving forward. Like, I'd like to see him work on his handle, and I think he can do more in the passing game. What do you see him working on, or what did you try to get him to work on this summer, for example?
It sounds like he was in the meeting, because that's some of the things that we definitely wanted him to work on, is, you know, being a better ball handler and initiator, and then continue to work on being a playmaker. He's so dynamic at the rim, but if he can get into the paint and make the right reads from the paint, it just makes our offense that much better. And then just being able to play and being ready to play 30 to 35 minutes. It's a different grind to play so many minutes. You know, you see our core who have done it for 10, 12, 13 years of playing those type of minutes. So in having your body ready to play both ways, two-way player for that amount of time, it's a different type of grind. He's really bought into it. He gets up very early to work out. He works out multiple times a day, and he's very motivated to try to take the next step in his career. And so I'm very excited, and we should all be very excited to see what he does next.
Oh, we love J.K., Anthony. I mean, Coach, the first time we ever seen him at the California Classic, he tried to dunk on like eight dudes. We're like, hey, this is our type of guy right here. So he's gotten better, as well as Pods and TJD. Can you discuss their development before we let you go?
I think they did a great job in Summer League to have an elevated role, to, you know, have more of an impact on winning, with Trace being the defensive anchor, calling out calls. You saw him be way more vocal. You see his body has physically changed. And then also BP, you know, playing with the ball more in his hand, being an organizer, but also being somebody that's being aggressive, trying to get to the basket, trying to make plays, and then shooting the ball well. We're going to need his shooting for next year. So I thought they did a great job. They helped us win three games, and now they're still cheering our team on, which is very respectable and admirable from those two guys.
Yeah, no doubt. You guys are rolling the summer league. Keep up the great work down there, man. You guys haven't lost a game all summer, and you're doing a hell of a job in that hot seat there. We can't wait to see you with the Golden State Warriors, of course, when training camp opens. But keep doing your thing out there in Vegas, Coach. We're proud of you.
Thank y'all again for having me. I appreciate it, and it's been a blessing and a fun experience so far.
Good Absolutely. Stuff. Good stuff. Warriors player development coach Anthony Vereen, coach of their summer league team, doing a great job there. Quick interview with him down in Las Vegas. Warriors are rolling. They're undefeated. Let's see if they can go undefeated for the rest of summer league there. We got a roll here. It's crossover time, and that's what's coming up, brought to you by Safeway.
The more you make me nervous.
Now back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game. Filling in for Steiny and Goo, here's Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
It's been a hell of a week. Hell of a week being jacked up. I know the fellas who are in right now for a little crossover are happy to get their slot back on Monday.
I'm not.
But you know, no, you said you were yesterday.
Nah, I'm back to, I miss it. This is melancholy goo right here.
Well, now we got an old episode of BS&G with the boys, Steiny, Guru, and Bonte. Shasky had to take off a little bit early for a little crossover. Don't forget, you still have one more chance to qualify for an autograph Klay Thompson jersey at 5'11". So listen at 5'11" with Steiny and Goo to qualify for a Klay Thompson jersey, an autograph Klay Thompson, Golden State Warriors jersey, that is. What up, fellas? Happy Friday, man.
Yes,
payday
sir.
Friday.
Payday.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yeah.
I do
yes,
like
sir.
That. I do like that. And it's, no bills are due right now.
Look at
no
it.
No bills are due.
No allocations.
Right now. Well, no, the credit card actually.
Oh, I can look at you. That's small, yeah, though. Man. But for you, probably be.
No, I'm not like you.
Boy, I'm sorry to listen to some of that show today, and you had to relive the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God, Steiny. You put me in a dark place.
My bad.
Well, when I watch it back, you're like, why did you watch it? Now you're like,
no, he didn't watch
no,
it.
I didn't watch it.
He knows it play by play.
Play by play.
Play by play off the top of his head.
So do
Super Bowl 54 as well.
Yeah.
Now, true story, Steiny. Super Bowl 54, I was in Cabo last year. Bloop. Family vacation. Bloop, bloop. And I'm texting the fellas. I'm watching Super Bowl. It was on in Mexico for some reason.
I remember that.
And they started a separate thread saying, please let him enjoy his vacation. Don't reply to him. And so Guru and I kind of were sickos when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But this last Super Bowl, Steiny, I've only watched it back once. Because it's like, you could see it coming.
And you were there.
The warning signs, being there was even worse.
But Chris Jones wrecked both Super Bowls at the end.
And he didn't make any excuses about holding out.
man.
No, that's true. That's true. No, that's what we're going to get into with training camp starting next week. Man. You guys will be there on Wednesday. We'll be there on Wednesday down in Santa Clara. And I think a lot of today's show, Goo, or at least a good portion of it, will be how 49er fans are feeling this year. Does it feel like this is going to be their last best chance? Was last year their last best chance?
If you listen to Steve Young, that's why I fool with Steve Young. He kept it real. Like, that was, not that it's over, B.
Yeah.
Last year was the best version to get the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And you had them, but and you let them off the hook.
But it's also maybe the best chance to get that version of the Detroit Lions.
Ooh.
Or the Green Bay Packers.
Or the Rams, the Eagles, who you didn't have to
or
face.
Or the LA Rams.
They're going to be better.
Or even the Arizona Cardinals, yeah, who may sneak up off people. In Seattle.
Win,
and I'm worried about Seattle because their new coach was defense coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, and they befuddled the hell out of Shanahan and Purdy on Christmas Day. So it may be their best chance, but we were talking about pressure, Steiny and Goo, like the pressure. Does this team have the most pressure for a Bay Area team? And I believe they have the most pressure for a Bay Area professional sports team since the 0-2 Giants. Now, there's a lot of other great candidates, but for a team that hasn't won a ring in a long, long time, I do believe there's a lot of pressure on them. And the most pressure on the Niners may be the head coach again, Kyle Shanahan.
Did you hear Steiny yesterday? We were putting stuff in the cap, future cap, and he just felt like right now, you know, I got the Giants winning the playoff series, but he might not get it here. And I'm telling you, Bonte, Greenlaw is a big deal. We don't know what's up with who. Things change.
Yep.
And we just assume the great McCaffrey is going to be able to take all that pounding and the what ifs.
Yeah. The season after is usually not pretty for running backs who have that many touches.
Well, I'm thinking about, okay, the 2002 Giants, this is a team with the most pressure on them. And I was going through, let's say, the Warriors. And when did the Warriors have pressure on them? Doesn't feel like they ever really did. Maybe during the Durant era.
Year one of Durant after losing, you better make this happen. And they
were so good. It's almost like they were above any kind of pressure.
Mm.
And then the Giants, they always seemed to not come out of nowhere, but they were always one of a few teams you thought could win it. Nobody ever looked at the Giants and said, well, they're the best team, they should win it. And I guess I'm contradicting myself about the Warriors, but I just feel like the Warriors were such, they were three levels better than everybody when they had Durant. They didn't even feel pressure. I don't think the Giants felt pressure because they were always, they always seemed to be an underdog or coming out of nowhere. And the 49ers have been to the NFC Championship game four out of the last 5 years.
Whole lot of winning.
I wonder how many teams have done that since the inception of the NFL.
Yeah.
Probably not many.
I know Buffalo
Buffalo did the four straight.
I guess the Chiefs maybe have done it recently.
The Cowboys were in, I want to say the Cowboys may have been in
three or four
straight.
They lost to you guys here.
Yeah, but they were in four straight NFC championship games, right?
Yep.
Damn, four or five. And the worst part is they had a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, a 10-point lead against the LA Rams. They had a lead last year in the Super Bowl. They're blowing leads here.
Hart drops that pick. If he catches that, you guys are going to another one.
The next play, Beckham catches a pass for 30 yards and gets 15 tacked on for a penalty. And your point about the Warriors starting, you're right, because not only was were they so much better with Kevin Durant? They didn't have any real adversity during that. He went 16-1 that first year in the postseason, but they already had a championship in their pocket.
Yeah. Exactly.
So for Warrior fans, I think if they'd never won one first, we would have been happy with one, Stoney.
Well, and 2022, there was no pressure on them because nobody thought they were going to win it.
That's true.
So it feels like the Warriors got the first one. It was kind of I don't want to say surprise, but it was unexpected. And then here comes Durant a couple years later. So they just rolled for 3 years. And then they shocked the world in 2022, and now they're back to not really having a lot of pressure on them because I think nobody's thinking they're a championship contender this year.
Yeah.
So they just go out and play again. But I you're absolutely right about the Niners, and we're going to talk a lot about them. What's your biggest concern? What gives you the most confidence? All that kind of stuff. And I just, the one thing I do compare the Niners to with the Warriors during the Durant era is, you know, how do you get through the regular season?
Yeah.
You know, you've been to two Super Bowls in 5 years. You've been to four NFC title games. You got 17 games to play. And, you know, you should be able to win 10 games by accident. I know things can change, but you figure they're going to the playoffs. So when I think of the 49ers, I think, you know, they're going to have to figure out a way to motivate themselves, I think, during the regular season because of the success they've had the last 4 or 5 years.
And what did Bobby Brown say, Bonte and Steiny? It's my prerogative, so this is how I feel. You are correct, but I just can't let and I won't let go of the playoff run that was last year. And I heard you talking about the Detroit, the Green Bay, and that Super Bowl. It's like they didn't mirror themselves all year on either side of the ball. Yep. And now I have questions as, was it Wilkes? Now there's no Greenlaw. Just a lot. Cool. And we're assuming health. And I never like to go down this road trying to be proactive. But, man, Joshua Dobbs, if something were to happen to Purdy, like, again, we can do this with every team.
We've come a long way from Trey Lance and Sam Darnold, Joshua Dobbs.
But, and you might even disagree with this, both of you, but like Buffalo, they got their ass kicked in all every Super Bowl but one, the Giants won. And to me, those are ones you can flush down the toilet. The Niners, even in the NFC Championship game, up 10 when they hit Kittle at the end of the third quarter in the NFC Championship game, they had the lead. They were better than the Chiefs, but they don't have a Mahomes. But that doesn't come into play because you couldn't put them away.
Yeah.
To, you know, you could have put them away and Mahomes wouldn't have been able to do it.
No doubt. And I'm looking at Shanahan and the way he's managed those games. It's felt like he's gotten tight in those games. And even Steve Wilkes. A lot of heat was on Steve Wilkes. You know what? He coached his ass off in the Super Bowl. They held him. They forced an interception right on a shot. But to your point, Stardew, like the Giants, 2010, the Phillies had all the pressure on them with Ryan Howard and Chase Utley and that great pitching staff. And the Giants upset them. And it was like, wow, we're in the World Series. Okay, cool. Let's see what happens. And people also forget the Padres had a 10-game lead in the NL West that season.
That's right.
And the Giants clinched the division on the last day of the regular season. 2010, they were one of the best teams. But, you know, if they don't win, we still got 2010 and 2014 was a miracle down Market Street with Madison Bumgarner doing what he did in 2014. The Niners haven't had that championship in a long, long time.
And we had Acho on a couple days ago. I don't know if you heard him.
Yeah, that was a good interview.
Tell me what you think, because I throw this to Steiny all the time, and I'm going to do it today. As far as, like, Mosley getting lost on 3rd and 15 in the first Super Bowl, and then Tart dropping the pick.
Yep.
Acho, he pointed to, why didn't Ayuk have targets? Why was Kittle in blocking?
Yeah.
That's what I got on my binoculars. That's what I'm looking at, like, how would he explain that? Oh, it's just better defense. But if we're calling you a genius, you got to be able to get busy and cook against the elite on the other side. But I do wonder, why did Ayuk only have 6 targets?
And you contrast that to Travis Kelce in that same Super Bowl yelling at Andy Reid,
boy,
get me the damn football. And he got a million targets in the second half. Where Kittle, you're right, 2 catches, 4 yards.
He's better than that.
We see that in all the losses. Super Bowl 54, what do we remember? He's in pass blocking.
Jimmy was missing him when he was open, but Chris Jones
also wrecked the game.
Incredible.
A guy who stepped up where Bosa's on the sideline on the final possession.
He needed oxygen.
Like Dick Vermeil's like, yo, what are you doing? Remember Dick Vermeil in that Super Bowl yelling at Kevin Carter? You want to come out now on the last drive of the Super Bowl?
I can see Steiny doing that. What are you doing?
So what is this thing? I've been seeing this. So this has been floating around a while. Somebody's telling me on a Xfinity mobile text, ask Guru about cheese on tacos.
Oh.
B,
what is going on?
I feel like it was a victory. I grew up in a household where my mother made cheese on tacos. Yeah. I go to taquerias and food trucks on High Street.
Cheese. Yeah.
And I guess people got to, like, that's ketchup on eggs, which is oxymoron. That is the nastiest thing ever. But I get it. I put ketchup on eggs.
I used to put ketchup on eggs.
I'm a Martian because I like cheese on my meat.
You don't like cheese on tacos?
No, the argument is whether an authentic taco comes with cheese.
Oh, wow.
And many say that it doesn't. But the agreement is, if you want to put cheese on, you can.
And taquerias have that option.
They have the option.
Yeah, okay.
They have the option.
Or they put the cheese on the tortilla. They melt the cheese on the tortilla, and then you put the meat on them with the sour cream and whatnot.
I had a lot of people backing me up. We had one guy call. I went to Mexico and walked from the east to the whole part of Mexico. No cheese on tacos.
That's a lie.
But that was a myth,
I've had cheese on tacos in Mexico. Great cheese on the tacos in Mexico.
The question is, did you have to ask for it, or did it come without asking?
I always ask,
I didn't have to ask for it.
Yeah.
Oh. They melted the cheese on the corn tortillas at this one spot in Cabo that was really, really good. It was so good, we went back the next day. It was that good. It was called like a volcano taco.
My niece Mar graduated, and they had a party in a taco truck in Stockton. I'm out there, and I'm talking to the kids like, I can't wait. And then they're like, what's wrong with Uncle Duro? I was just in the corner. Like, I was hurt because they had the tacos, all of them, but no cheese. And I'm like, what? Beat me up, Scotty. Come on.
The pressure thing is so, isn't that crazy,
man?
With the expectations of the Giants and the Warriors, that the Niners may be the last hope in this market for a while to win a championship, because the Sharks are at ground zero.
Yeah.
The Warriors are in transition. We don't know. If Steph never gets back to the finals, and they got four banners, which is in my lifetime, I'm like, I didn't think the Warriors would even get to the finals, let alone a Western Conference final. They have four banners. The Giants have three, which I never thought they'd win. They may be our last hope around this town to win a championship after a great run from 2010 to about 2022 in this region, Steiny.
For a little while, anyway, because, you know, how far away are the Warriors and how far away are the Giants? Now, the thing about the Giants is, I mean, the thing about baseball is you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. If they slide into the last wild card, anything can happen. But, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that the team most poised right now in the Bay Area to win a title is the 49ers, and it probably has been that way since, I'll bet, I think before 2022, because the Warriors weren't favored in 2022. Yep. That was kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
And the Niners have now been there 4 or 5 years. So, you know, I don't want to go negative on a Friday, but if the 49ers don't get it done this year and things change, boy, then when does the next big season from a Bay Area team come?
And you guys both have told me or taught me, you know, as you win, then the disease of me or just the finances come in. And that's why you want to cash in when you can.
Right.
And now, okay, you're going to identify or you have Brock Purdy, but now already that might cost you Ayuk or whoever. So
there's a lot of
you
guys.
Got those problems as if you won, but it's going to be harder to get back to get. How many years of the last five has Baldy or anybody? The Niners had the best roster, and it was real.
Yep.
But you got nothing to show for it.
You got nothing to show for it. It's just like the Harbaugh Niners. Three straight NFC Championship games with loaded rosters. And to that point, when you think about Purdy, like all the guys have to pay, Deominor, Lenore, Charverius Ward, Hufanga. What do you do with Dre Greenlaw?
Trent's going to say, pay me.
Trent's already talking extensions. Like, dude, Trent, we already took care of you. We know you're going to miss about three games. What else do you
if
want,
Trent? If he played that card, though, they would just you would have in the to middle pay. Of the night.
That could ruin everything. Hold on, Ayuk. Sit over there. Play for your 15.
Oh,
we have to take care of Trent.
How old is he now? Trent Williams.
37. I'm going to say 36.
I mean, this is probably going to be his last year, right?
I think he might have two more in him.
He was saying he was going to retire a couple years ago,
I think if they win a Super Bowl, he'll say
Okay. All right.
I think he's waiting on that ring. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. And don't forget, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? All right, now it's time for What's Bugging You. I've never done this. Sponsored by Echo Pest Control. Guru, you started off.
All right, listen. When you get gas and you swipe your card at the pump, all you want to do is get gas and get back in the ride. I don't want to fill out a job app, car wash. I get no. What type of music? No. Why do I got to keep hitting before the gas comes out? Cut all of it, swipe the card, and let me gas up. Dude, it's like a questionnaire. Yeah. quit upselling me. I'm good.
Or round up to the nearest dollar to donate to God knows what.
And it was hot today, and I'm like, come on, man. Let me get my gas, baby.
Go ahead, Bonte.
All right, what's bugging me? The banks.
Oh,
so
boy.
Ann and I have different banks, so sometimes I need to pull money out the bank because my bank, one of my banks is Patelco, and their systems are down, so I couldn't just do the whole Zelle and transfer. Had to go into the bank and physically grab money, which is a long, long process, right? And I got baby Chaz, I got to give her the phone to calm her down. So then I go to Anna's bank. I say, hey, I have all the information here. Social, date of birth. It's my fiance. Yeah. Can I deposit some money into her account? And the people at Wells Fargo is like, well, since you're not a member here, you're going to need a cashier's check. And even then, we have to go through the process of doing this. You have to fill out paperwork. Why, if I have all the information with the account number, do I need to go through all these other hoops?
You speak in my language.
To deposit some money. I'm him. Here's me. Here's her. Let me deposit the damn money. So now, she's got to walk around with cash, with a lot of cash, because we got a family credit card bill or whatnot. Patelco, Wells Fargo, get your act right. Man. The process should be a lot simpler. It's 2024.
It's scary. Planes ain't even going up, Steiner.
Yeah. I'll tell you what bothers me a little bit is that the NFL keeps wanting to add games to the regular season. Wow. So your boy Jerry Jones said that an 18-game schedule is inevitable. The NFL is going to go to 18 games, wow, which is just unbelievable. And then we talk about injuries in the NFL, so there's just going to be more and more of those. But all I'm saying is, and I don't know why the NFL can't do this, why can't they just do it like college, and you come out, and you're no preseason, your first game is your opener. You come out, and you play your first game. Like, that's what I would, if you're going to play 18 games, let's scrap the exhibition games.
I'm with you on that one. And just do scrimmages, right?
Exactly.
Do the joint practices.
Exactly.
That could be your preseason. Joint practices, let the fans see it. Play them with big stadiums. One team gets 25 plays. The other team gets 25 plays. And you go, I'm kind of with you there. But the NFL, you know, the disease in me, greed.
No doubt.
They know they can go to a 20-game schedule. They could put the Jaguars and Titans on Saturday night, and we're all going to watch.
I'm an addict, but just think about Sunday. And they say NFL game guru is like a equivalent of a car crash going about 35 miles an hour. Think about it, now watch. Playing a Sunday game and turning around having to play Thursday night. Just think, for the body and what we know about the science, and not all they get paid, but just they use them like cattle. Why would you play 18 football games?
I don't know. Let me ask you this, because this one may be bugging me a little bit, but it was a few years ago. With the NFL dominating everything, top ratings, everybody's watching, did the NBA drop the ball? By not saying, wow, we started a few days before Christmas. You could weather the storm in January when the NFL is in the playoffs, and then we really get cooking in February.
You don't got to share.
You don't have to share, and then you have your finals. Like, I enjoyed the finals with the Bucks and the Suns. When was it, in July, early July? I thought COVID, the NBA had the perfect chance to reset their calendar, because now when they start in October, you're going against the NFL.
Man.
November, you're going against the NFL. The NFL is now taking over Christmas Day, which was the NBA day, and then you got January. The casual fan may not watch the NBA for the first 4 months of the season.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing the NBA's got going for them now is their season's at least 10 months, because they're still in their season, they figure, when the LA Summer League, I mean, the Las Vegas Summer League. So they got the playoffs going to mid-June, then they got the draft and free agency, and then they've got Vegas. It feels like everybody just takes off in August, and then once September rolls around, you know, you're getting ready for training camp. So I definitely hear you there. I think maybe the NBA just figures, you know, we'll do the best we can the first half of the season, or at least up until Christmas. Right. But, yeah, I mean, you're never going to be able to compete with the NFL.
And what I don't like, guys, and I mean this, oh, Guru, you're turning into a nerd, is what it's done with the 1,000-yard. Now I don't know what's what. Remember, 1,000 yards was the standard?
I can tell you.
But everything's it's just different now.
Yeah, I got a number for everything.
What do you mean?
Well, now you got to get about 1,200 yards.
1,200?
Equals 1,000.
But everybody's not like you. But you know what I mean? It used to be 16.
Right. Shaq does that all the time. He's like, well, 1,000 yards, it's 17 games now. And I'm like,
that's
damn.
Right,
I used to get 1,300 yards. It's like, well, it's really not that
let's
much.
Let's divide.
You've got to divide
it's
out.
It's different when you compare them to the OGs.
And then two bye weeks maybe you get. But then what does that mean for the playoff schedule?
Man.
Is the NFL going to end in late February now?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Are we going to go to the end of February? Jesus Christ.
If I could show Steiny, you and I, our text thread about, I hit you at about 11:20 at night sometimes, and I take a picture, a snapshot of what I'm watching, just something that already happened, but he would be a rich man. Is anybody in this room, hashtag random, looking forward to Tom Brady on the call? I am still mad that Olsen is not with Burkhart. Are you two looking forward to Tom Brady calling the game? Like, I got my scorecard out, man.
I'm not going to lie,
Steiny. You know if you're good, Steiny.
I have a little Brady fatigue.
Mm.
I think Olsen's really good.
He got robbed.
He's really good, man.
Come on.
He's good.
They were great.
And like, Brady, he may be good that first year, but then I think about Tony Romo. How do we feel about Tony Romo now?
He fell
now?
Off. I thought he was Steiny. To me, he fell off.
It's like CBS told him to dial it back. Something happened there.
He talked too much. You never shut up, Run DMC.
You're the only guy I know who either looks forward to or doesn't look forward to an announcer.
Like, I kind of went that's part Steiny. Of why I go back Steiny. In the, huh. the Super Bowl, the NFC Championship game in Seattle, the one of the best ever, the Niners and Seahawks. Aikman and Buck were in their bag. Oh. Steiny, that like I'm watching the game, sure. but I'm watching the presentation oh. because the like Summerall and Matt Nate yeah. had something.
You know what, Steiny? I'm
They're
with
playing
them
their
here.
Own game.
He's right. It does matter.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV. That asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The more you make me nervous.
Now back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game. Filling in for Steiny and Goo, here's Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
It's been a hell of a week. Hell of a week being jacked up. I know the fellas who are in right now for a little crossover are happy to get their slot back on Monday.
I'm not.
But you know, no, you said you were yesterday.
Nah, I'm back to, I miss it. This is melancholy Goo right here.
Well, now we got an old episode of BS&G with the boys Steiny, Guru, and Bonte Shasky. Had to take off a little bit early for a little crossover. Don't forget, you still have one more chance to qualify for an autographed Klay Thompson jersey at 5:11. So listen at 5:11 with Steiny and Goo to qualify for a Klay Thompson jersey, an autographed Klay Thompson Golden State Warriors jersey, that is. What up, fellas? Happy Friday, man.
Yes,
payday
sir.
Friday.
Payday.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yeah.
I do
yes,
like
sir.
That. I do like that. And it's, no bills are due right now.
Look at it.
No bills are
no
due
allocations.
Right now.
Huh?
Well, no, the credit card actually.
Oh, I can look at you. Yes. That's small, yeah, though. Man. But for you, probably big.
No, I'm not like you.
Boy, I'm sorry to listen to some of that show today, and you had to relive the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God, Steiny. You put me in a dark place.
My bad.
Well, when I watch place. It back, you're like, why didn't you watch it? Now you're like,
no, he didn't watch
no,
it.
I didn't watch shoulder. It.
He knows it play by play.
Play by play.
Play by play off the top of his head.
So do
Super Bowl 54 as well.
Yeah.
Now, true story, Steiny. Super Bowl 54, I was in Cabo last year.
Bloop.
Family vacation, bloop, bloop. And I'm texting the fellas. I'm watching Super Bowl. It was on in Mexico for some reason.
I remember that.
And they started a separate thread saying, please let him enjoy his vacation. Don't reply to him. And so Guru and I kind of were sickos when it comes to that. Yeah. But this last Super Bowl signing, I've only watched it back once. Because it's like, you could see it coming.
And you were there.
The warning signs, being there was even worse.
But Chris Jones wrecked both Super Bowls at the end.
And he didn't make any excuses about holding out.
Man.
No, that's true. That's true. No, that's what we're going to get into with training camp starting next week. Man. You guys will be there on Wednesday. We'll be there on Wednesday down in Santa Clara. And I think a lot of today's show, Goo, or at least a good portion of it, will be how 49er fans are feeling this year. Does it feel like this is going to be their last best chance? Was last year their last best chance?
If you listen to Steve Young, that's why I fooled with Steve Young. He kept it real. Like, that was, not that it's over, B.
Yeah.
Last year was the best version to get the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And you had them, but you let them off the hook.
But it's also maybe the best chance to get that version of the Detroit Lions.
Ooh.
Or the Green Bay Packers.
Or the Philadelphia Rams, Eagles, who you didn't have to
or
face.
Or the LA Rams.
They're gonna be better.
Or even Arizona Cardinals, who may sneak up on people. In Seattle. And I'm worried about Seattle because their new coach was a defense coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, and they befuddled the hell out of Shanahan and Purdy on Christmas Day. So it may be their best chance, but we were talking about pressure, Steiny and Goo, like the pressure. Does this team have the most pressure for a Bay Area team? And I believe they have the most pressure for a Bay Area professional sports team since the 02 Giants. Now, there's a lot of other great candidates, but for a team that hasn't won a ring in a long, long time, I do believe there's a lot of pressure on them. And the most pressure on the Niners may be the head coach again, Kyle Shanahan.
Did you hear Steiny yesterday? We were putting stuff in the cap, future cap, and he just felt like right now, you know, I got the Giants winning the playoff series, but he might not get it here. And I'm telling you, Bonte, Greenlaw's a big deal. We don't know what's up with who. Things change. Yep. And we just assume the great McCaffrey is going to be able to take all that pounding and the what ifs.
Yeah. The season after is usually not pretty for running backs who have that many touches.
Well, I'm thinking about, okay, the 2002 Giants, this is a team with the most pressure on them. And I was going through, let's say, the Warriors. And when did the Warriors have pressure on them? Doesn't feel like they ever really did. Maybe during the Durant era.
Year one of Durant after losing, you better make this happen. And they
were so good. It's almost like they were above any kind of pressure. Mm. And then the Giants, they always seemed to not come out of nowhere, but they were always one of a few teams you thought could win it. Nobody ever looked at the Giants and said, well, they're the best team, they should win it. And I guess I'm contradicting myself about the Warriors, but I just feel like the Warriors were such, they were three levels better than everybody when they had Durant. They didn't even feel pressure. I don't think the Giants felt pressure because they were always they always seemed to be an underdog or coming out of nowhere. And the 49ers have been to the NFC Championship game four out of the last 5 years.
Whole lot of winning.
I wonder how many teams have done that since the inception of the NFL. Yeah. Probably not many.
I know Buffalo did.
Buffalo did the four straight.
The Chiefs maybe have done it recently.
The Cowboys were in, I want to say the Cowboys may have been in
four straight. They lost to you guys here.
Yeah, but they were in four straight NFC championship games, right?
Yep.
Damn, four or five. And the worst part is they had a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, a 10-point lead against the LA Rams. They had a lead last year in the Super Bowl. They're blowing leads
Tart
here.
Drops that pick. If he catches that, you guys are going to another one.
The next play, Beckham catches a pass for 30 yards. Yep. It gets 15 tacked on for a penalty. And your point about the Warriors starting, you're right, because not only were they so much better with Kevin Durant? They didn't have any real adversity during that. They went 16-1 that first year in the postseason, but they already had a championship in their pocket.
Yeah. Exactly.
So for Warrior fans, I think if they'd never won one first, we would have been happy with one, Stoney.
Well, in 2022, there was no pressure on it because nobody thought they were going to win it.
That's true.
So it feels like the Warriors got the first one. It was kind of I don't want to say surprise, but it was unexpected. And then here comes Durant a couple years later, so they just rolled for 3 years. And then they shocked the world in 2022, and now they're back to not really having a lot of pressure on them because I think nobody's thinking they're a championship contender this year.
Yeah.
So they just go out and play again. But I you're absolutely right about the Niners, and we're going to talk a lot about them, what's your biggest concern, what gives you the most confidence, all that kind of stuff. And I just, the one thing I do compare the Niners to with the Warriors during the Durant era is, you know, how do you get through the regular season?
Yeah.
You know, you've been to two Super Bowls in 5 years. You've been to four NFC title games. You got 17 games to play, and you should be able to win 10 games by accident. I know things can change, but you figure they're going to the playoffs. So when I think of the 49ers, I think, you know, they're going to have to figure out a way to motivate themselves, I think, during the regular season because of the success they've had the last 4 or 5 years.
And what did Bobby Brown say, Bonte and Steiny? It's my prerogative, so this is how I feel. You are correct, but I just can't let and I won't let go of the playoff run that was last year. And I heard you talking about the Detroit, the Green Bay, and that Super Bowl. It's like they didn't mirror themselves all year on either side of the ball. Nope. And now I have questions as, was it Wilkes? Now there's no Greenlaw. Just a lot. Cool. And we're assuming health. And I never like to go down this road trying to be proactive. But, man, Joshua Dobbs, if something were to happen to Purdy, like, again, we can do this with every team. That
we've come a long way from Trey Lance and Sam Darnold, Joshua Dobbs.
But and you might even disagree with this, both of you, but like Buffalo, they got their ass kicked in all every Super Bowl but one, the Giants won. And to me, those are ones you can flush down the toilet. The Niners, even in the NFC Championship game up 10 when they hit Kittle at the end of the third quarter in the NFC Championship game, they had the lead. They were better than the Chiefs, but they don't have a Mahomes. But that doesn't come into play because you couldn't put them away.
Yeah.
You could have put them away and Mahomes wouldn't have been able to do it.
No doubt. And I'm looking at Shanahan and the way he's managed those games. It's felt like he's gotten tight in those games. And even Steve Wilkes. A lot of heat was on Steve Wilkes. You know what? He coached his ass off in the Super Bowl. They held a hold. They forced an interception right on a shot time. But to your point, Stardego, like the Giants, 2010, the Phillies had all the pressure on them with Ryan Howard and Chase Utley and that great pitching staff, and the Giants upset them. And it was like, wow, we're in the World Series. Okay, cool. Let's see what happens. And people also forget the Padres had a 10-game lead in the NL West that season.
That's right.
And the Giants clinched a division on the last day of the regular season. 2010, they were one of the best teams, but you know, if they don't win, we still got 2010 and 2014 was a miracle down Market Street with Madison Bumgarner doing what he did in 2014. The Niners haven't had that championship in a long, long time.
And we had Acho on a couple days ago. I don't know if you heard him.
Yeah, that was a good interview.
Tell me what you think, because I throw this at Steiny all the time, and I'm going to do it today. As far as, like, Mosley getting lost on 3rd and 15 in the first Super Bowl, and then Tart dropping the pick.
Yep.
Acho, he pointed to, why didn't Ayuk have targets? Why was Kittle in blocking?
Yeah.
That's what I got on my binoculars. That's what I'm looking at, like, how would he explain that? Oh, it's just better defense. But if we're calling you a genius, you got to be able to get busy and cook against the elite on the other side. But I do wonder, why did Ayuk only have 6 targets?
And you contrast that to Travis Kelce in that same Super Bowl yelling at Andy Reid,
boy,
get me the damn football. And he got a million targets in the second half. Where Kittle, you're right, 2 catches, 4 yards.
He's better than that.
We see that in all the losses. Super Bowl 54, what do we remember? He's in pass blocking.
Jimmy was missing him when he was open, but
Chris Jones also wrecked the game.
Incredible.
A guy who stepped up where Bosa's on the sideline on the final possession.
He needed oxygen.
Like Dick Vermeil's like, yo, what are you doing? Remember Dick Vermeil in that Super Bowl yelling at Kevin Carter? You want to come out now on the last drive for the Super Bowl?
I can see Steiny doing that. What are you doing?
So what is this thing? I've been seeing this. So this has been floating around a while. Somebody's telling me on the Xfinity Mobile text, ask Guru about cheese on tacos.
Oh.
B,
what is going on?
I feel like it was a victory. I grew up in a household where my mother made cheese on tacos. Yeah. I go to taquerias and food trucks on
Shredded cheese.
Yeah. And I guess people got to, like, that's ketchup on eggs, which is oxymoron. That is the nastiest thing ever.
I put ketchup on eggs.
I'm a Martian because I like cheese on my meat.
You don't like cheese on tacos?
No, the argument is whether an authentic taco comes with cheese.
Oh, wow.
And many say that it doesn't. But the agreement is, if you want to put cheese on, you can.
And taquerias have that option.
They have the option.
Or they put the cheese on the tortilla. Ooh, they melt the cheese on the tortilla, and then you put the meat on them with the sour cream or whatnot.
I had a lot of people backing me up. We had one guy call. I went to Mexico and walked from the east to the whole part of Mexico. No cheese on tacos.
That's a lie.
But that was a myth,
I've had cheese on tacos in Mexico. Great cheese on the tacos in Mexico.
The question is, did you have to ask for it, or did it come without asking?
Ask, yeah.
I didn't have to ask for it.
Yeah.
Oh. They melted the cheese on the corn tortillas at this one spot in Cabo. That was really, really it was so good, we went back the next day. It was that good. It was called like a volcano taco.
My niece Mar graduated, and they had a party in a taco truck in Stockton. I'm out there, and I'm talking to the kids like, I can't wait. And then they're like, what's wrong with Uncle Daryl? I was just in the corner. Like, I was hurt because they had the tacos, all of them, but no cheese. And I'm like, what? Beat me up, Scotty. Come on.
The pressure thing is so, isn't this that crazy,
man?
With the expectations of the Giants and the Warriors, that the Niners may be the last hope in this market for a while to win a championship, because the Sharks are at ground zero.
Yeah.
The Warriors are in transition. We don't know. If Steph never gets back to the finals, and they got four banners, which is in my lifetime, I'm like, I didn't think the Warriors would even get to the finals, let alone a Western Conference final. They have four banners. The Giants have three, which I never thought they'd win. They may be our last hope around this town to win a championship after a great run from 2010 to about 2022 in this region, Steiny.
For a little while, anyway, because, you know, how far away are the Warriors and how far away are the Giants? Now, the thing about the Giants is, I mean, the thing about baseball is you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. If they slide into the last wild card, anything can happen. But, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that the team most poised right now in the Bay Area to win a title is the 49ers, and it probably has been that way since, I think before 2022, because the Warriors weren't favored in 2022. Yep. That was kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
And the Niners have now been there 4 or 5 years. So, you know, I don't want to go negative on a Friday, but if the 49ers don't get it done this year and things change, boy, then when does the next big season from a Bay Area team come?
And you guys both have told me or taught me, you know, as you win, then the disease of me or just the finances come in. And that's why you want to cash in when you can.
Right.
And now, okay, you're going to identify or you have Brock Purdy, but now already that might cost you Ayuk or whoever. So
there's a lot of guys.
You got those problems as if you won, but it's going to be harder to get back to get. How many years of the last five has Baldy or anybody? The Niners have the best roster, and it was real.
Yep.
But you got nothing to show for it.
You got nothing to show for it. It's just like the Harbaugh Niners.
Man.
Three straight NFC Championship games with loaded rosters. And to that point, when you think about Purdy, like all the guys have to pay, Deommodore Lenore, Charvarius Sword, Hufanga, what do you do with Drake Greenlaw?
Trent's going to say, pay me.
Trent's already talking extensions. Like, dude, Trent, we already took care of you. We know you're going to miss about three games. What else do you want,
Trent? If he played that card, though, they would just like, you would have in the middle of the night.
That could ruin everything. Hold on, Ayuk. Sit over there. Play for your 15. We have to take care of Trent.
How old is he now? Trent Williams.
37. I would say 36.
I mean, this is probably going to be his last year, right?
I think he might have two more in him.
He said he was going to retire a couple years ago,
I think if they win a Super Bowl, he'll say
okay. All right.
I think he's waiting on that ring. By the way, you're listening to 95.70 Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. And don't forget, all guests on 95.70 Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? All right, now it's time for What's Bugging You. Uh-oh. I've never done this. Sponsored by Echo Pest Control. Guru, you started off.
All right, listen. When you get gas and you swipe your card at the pump, all you want to do is get gas and get back in the ride. I don't want to fill out a job app, car wash. I get no. What type of music? No. Why do I got to keep hitting before the gas comes out? Cut all of it, swipe the card, and let me gas up. Dude, it's like a questionnaire. Yeah. quit upselling me. I'm good.
Or round up to the nearest dollar to donate to God knows what.
And it was hot today, and I'm like, come on, man. Let me get my gas, baby.
Go ahead, Bonte.
All right, what's bugging me? The banks.
Oh,
so
boy.
Ed and I have different banks, so sometimes I need to pull money out the bank because one of my banks is Patelco, and their systems are down, so I couldn't just do the whole Zelle and transfer. Had to go into the bank and physically grab money, which is a long, long process, right? And I got baby Chaz. I got to give her the phone to calm her down. So then I go to Anna's bank. I say, hey, I have all the information here. Social, date of birth. It's my fiance. Yeah. Can I deposit some money into her account? And the people at Wells Fargo is like, well, since you're not a member here, you're going to need a cashier's check. And even then, we have to go through the process of doing this. You have to fill out paperwork. Why, if I have all the information with the account number, do I need to go through all these other hoops?
You're speaking my language.
To deposit some money. I'm him. Here's me. Here's her. Let me deposit the damn money. So now, she's got to walk around with cash, with a lot of cash, because we got a family credit card bill or whatnot. Patelco, Wells Fargo, get your act right.
Man.
The process should be a lot simpler. It's 2024.
It's scary. Planes ain't even going up, Steiner.
Yeah. I'll tell you what bothers me a little bit is that the NFL keeps wanting to add games to the regular season. Wow. So your boy Jerry Jones said that an 18-game schedule is inevitable. The NFL is going to go to 18 games, is just unbelievable. And then we talk about injuries in the NFL, so there's just going to be more and more of those. But all I'm saying is, and I don't know why the NFL can't do this, why can't they just do it like college, and you come out, and you're no preseason, your first game is your opener. You come out, and you play your first game. Like, that's what I would, if you're going to play 18 games, let's scrap the exhibition games.
I'm with you on that one. And just do scrimmages, right?
Exactly.
Do the joint practices.
Exactly.
That could be your preseason. Joint practices, let the fans see it, play them at big stadiums. One team gets 25 plays, the other team gets 25 plays, and you go, I'm kind of with you there. But the NFL, you know, the disease in me, greed.
No doubt.
They know they could go to a 20-game schedule. They could put the Jaguars and Titans on Saturday night, and we're all going to watch.
I'm an addict, but just think about Sunday. And they say NFL game guru is like an equivalent of a car crash going about 35 miles an hour. Think about it, and I watch. Playing a Sunday game and turning around having to play Thursday night. Just think, for the body and what we know about the science, and not all they get paid, but just they use them like cattle. Why would you play 18 football games?
I don't know. Let me ask you this, because this one may be bugging me a little bit, but it was a few years ago. With the NFL dominating everything, top ratings, everybody's watching, did the NBA drop the ball? By not saying, wow, we started a few days before Christmas. You could weather the storm in January when the NFL is in the playoffs, and then we really get cooking in February.
You don't got to share.
You don't have to share, and then you have your finals. Like, I enjoyed the finals with the Bucks and the Suns. When was it, in July, early July? I thought COVID, the NBA had the perfect chance to reset their calendar, because now when they start in October, you're going against the NFL.
Man.
November, you're going against the NFL. The NFL is now taking over Christmas Day, which was the NBA day, and then you got January. The casual fan may not watch the NBA for the first 4 months of the season.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing the NBA's got going for them now is their season's at least 10 months, because they're still in their season, they figure, when the L.A. Summer League, I mean, the Las Vegas Summer League. So they got the playoffs going to mid-June, then they got the draft and free agency, and then they've got Vegas. It feels like everybody just takes off in August, and then once September rolls around, you know, you're getting ready for training camp. So I definitely hear you there. I think maybe the NBA just figures, you know, we'll do the best we can the first half of the season, or at least up until Christmas. Right. But, yeah, I mean, you're never going to be able to compete with the NFL.
And what I don't like, guys, and I mean this, oh, Guru, you're turning into a nerd, is what it's done with the 1,000-yard. Now I don't know what's what. Remember, 1,000 yards was the standard?
I can tell you.
But everything's it's just different now.
Yeah, I got a number for everything.
What do you mean?
Well, now you got to get about 1,200 yards.
1,200
equals 1,000.
But everybody's not like you. But you know what I mean? It used to be 16.
Right. Shasky does that all the time. He's like, well, 1,000 yards, it's 17 games now. And I'm like,
damn,
I used to get 1,300 yards. It's like, well, it's really not that much.
Let's divide.
You really got to divide
it's
out.
It's different when you compare them to the OGs.
And then 2 bye weeks maybe you get. But then what does that mean for the playoff schedule?
Man.
Is the NFL going to end in late February now?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Are we going to go to the end of February? Jesus Christ.
If I could show Steiny, you and I, our text thread about, I hit you at about 11:20 at night sometimes, and I take a picture, a snapshot of what I'm watching, just something that already happened, he would be a rich man. Is anybody in this room, hashtag random, looking forward to Tom Brady on the call? I am still mad that Olsen is not with Burkhart. Are you two looking forward to Tom Brady calling the game? Like, I got my scorecard out, man.
I'm not going to
let you know if you're good, Steiny.
I have a little Brady fatigue.
Mm.
I think Olsen's really good.
He got robbed.
He's really good, man.
Come on.
He's good.
They were great.
And like, Brady, he may be good that first year, but then I think about Tony Romo. How do we feel about Tony Romo now?
He fell off. I thought he was Steiny. To me, he fell off.
It's like CBS told him to dial it back. Something happened there.
He talked too much. You never shut up, Run DMC.
You're the only guy I know who either looks forward to or doesn't look forward to an announcer.
Like, I kind of went that's part Stiney. Of why I go back Stiney. And the Super Bowl, the NFC Championship game in Seattle, the one of the best ever, the Niners and Seahawks. Aikman and Buck were in their bag. Oh. Stiney, that like I'm watching the game, but I'm watching the presentation because the like Summerall and Matt Nate add something.
You know what, Stiney? I'm
They're
with
playing
them
their own game.
He's right. It
and
does
they
matter.
Add to it.
Even the soccer guys in Euro, when the guy goes, he goes, we're in Hamburg, Germany, the Battle of the Titanics, France and Portugal, and this place is crackling and the roar, and I was like, all right, I'm here. Who's this announcer? He was unbelievable when he goes to you full wing wizards. It does matter. Like, listen to Troy Aikman.
I'm afraid that it's going to have to be Jimmy Garoppolo that gets it done.
Remember, Guru, we talked about this the beginning of the broadcast. He goes, you know, Joe, I just get nervous about the guys who make mistakes, and these two quarterbacks really put their fan bases through roller coasters. Jimmy Garoppolo, Matthew Stafford.
What does Garoppolo parents say when they're sitting there watching that?
Like Kevin Kugler when he was doing the announcement, I get up for that. But like when Sam Rosen was doing all those bad Niner games when they were terrible, I'm like, gosh, we got Sam Rosen again. Jeez, like this broadcast is going to be rough.
Come on, Brady.
Stiney, the broadcast does.
It matters, Stiney.
Oh, it does, but I don't let it. I just turn the volume down if I don't like it.
I don't want to go with you. I think you didn't like the NBA Finals because Jackson Van Gundy, who I'm not going to say you didn't appreciate, they were missed, and I think a lot of people were saying, it's down, this ain't the same. And I was like, over here, it's because of the three guys weren't there.
Yeah, no.
To me, that was a major part.
One of the reasons the Finals weren't interesting to me, believe it or not, is because the Warriors weren't even in the playoffs. Like, that just, once the Warriors didn't make the playoffs, it just...
But we're used to that if you go back. You know what I mean? Like,
the last 11 years, exception to the rules.
Good God.
We're used to them not being on the NBA, on NBC, or whatever. But it did, you know what, though? That broadcast, like, Celtics, Pacers, overtime...
Oh.
The broadcast, and it wasn't Mike Breen's fault, but the overall broadcast made it feel like another game in December.
And that's why when somebody says, hey, Bontan Shasky, Willard and Dibbs, or Stiney and Goo, you have chemistry, that's the ultimate compliment because that's what they didn't have. And it wasn't because they were not trying, but when you have something good, man, hold on to it.
No doubt. I'm looking forward to the show about pressure, man. This will be a lot of fun. Good week with you guys, man. Great show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.